health, diet, fitness, lifestyle. You're listening to It's Your Health Radio. And here's your host, Lisa Davis.
Welcome to It's Your Health. On It's Your Health, I like to do shows with real people who are facing some challenges with their health issues and who have overcome many of the obstacles, and even those who are still struggling, to share their thoughts, their ideas, and what has helped them and how they're doing in their life. And I'm so happy to have Karen Egger back on the show. She is the author of the fantastic book, Enemy Within. Karen, welcome back to It's Your Health.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be on your show again.
Thank you for having me. Our first interview. We got really in-depth into the book. And this time I'm not going to give as much away, but I do want to mention that you've been living with rheumatoid arthritis for 3 decades since you were a teenager. And the first time that you had a flare-up or that you noticed it, you were 15 and you were just lying on the beach. Can you bring us back to that time?
Sure, yeah. So I was 15 and on a beautiful beach in Melbourne, Australia, which is my home country. And I'd been lying there for a couple of hours and had a sharp sort of pain to my right hip, and then found I couldn't get up from my beach towel, and I had to be actually carried home. And at the time, we just thought it was growing pains, and I was sort of put to bed with a kiss on the forehead and an aspirin, and I woke up and I sort of felt fine. And then it wasn't until a couple of months later, when I had my next flare, that we still, we really started to think perhaps there's a problem.
Yeah, and then I remember you talking about or writing about going to the rheumatologist at age 17, and he used words like progressive and degenerative. And when you and your mother got back in the car, you both just turned on the radio and didn't even talk about anything.
Right. You know, the diagnosis was rheumatoid arthritis, and it had taken 2 years really to get to that stage. Yet, we weren't educated. We didn't understand really what rheumatoid arthritis meant. We didn't understand that it's an autoimmune disease where, the body essentially attacks itself. And so we just treated it as if it was like being, having a cold or a bad bout of the flu, and, carried on, I guess, in a state of denial.
Yeah, well, it's such a huge thing. And when you're that young, you just don't think about things like that happening.
Right, exactly right. And, we didn't understand the implications in every dimension of my life that it would actually sort of affect. So it wasn't until really my early 20s when I got, more and more flares and got sicker and sicker, and I was actually wheelchair bound. Obviously, then we understood the gravity of the diagnosis.
Wow. Yeah, for people who aren't familiar, can you talk a little bit about rheumatoid arthritis?
Right, sure. Well, essentially, it causes swelling of the joints, and rheumatoid arthritis is actually a disease which is in the blood. So my body thinks that there's a virus or something to fight, and so it sort of starts sending out the soldiers. But there's nothing to fight, so instead of fighting the virus, it starts attacking itself. And with RA, rheumatoid arthritis, it's the joints that eventually get damaged. And so, my frame, my body now is not symmetrical, and I've had to have my right hip replaced. I've had, been hospitalized a number of times due to infections, because some of the medication can suppress your immune system so much that you then pick up other things. So there's a lot of implications.
Yeah, I recently did an interview with a doctor about rheumatoid arthritis, Karen, and he talked about a newer medication that is given once a month through IV, and I wish I remembered the name of it. Is that something that you're familiar with?
Yeah, that would be one of the biologic medicines.
Yes,
which, yes. When I moved over to America in 2000, they'd become available here. And I was put on a biologic in 2001. And at the time, for me anyway, because no other medication to really control the illness, well, it was like a virtual cure.
Yes, so, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's really, these biologic medicines in conjunction with other medicines really give back the quality of your life.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but it's no silver bullet, as they say. There are still, you know, I'm on my fourth biologic now because my body essentially gets used to the medicines and then I have to try something new, and plus my disease is so aggressive.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, going back to when you were in your early 20s, you and your mother had spent a few months, she was with you and you were undergoing complementary treatments. You ended up getting worse. And this isn't to put down complementary treatments, but they didn't work for you. And You were at your lowest point. You were unable to work. You're on disability. And you were completely dependent on your mom. If you can talk about that time, and would you have, during that, would you have ever imagined where you are now with the biologics and being in New York City?
Oh, no, I would never have imagined. I mean, my future back in my, 20 years ago or so was really bleak. And in fact, my mum, who's been such a rock for me in many ways through this struggle, was looking for my financial future, really, as if I wouldn't be at work in my 40s. So, you know, that was a time in my life where there was no hope. I'd been out of the workforce for about 2 years, and I'd been told by the Australian government that I'd be unable to work ever. And so I was put on the permanent disability, but that became a real catalyst for change. And I think that, you know, we have pivotal moments in our life. And for me, being told in my 20s that I'd never be able to work again and teach the children, you know, because I'm a teacher and I love my job, that was devastating, and that was sort of a real huge moment for me.
Wow. What advice do you have for people, whether it be rheumatoid arthritis or any other sort of chronic illness that they're dealing with, to find that hope even when they're in their darkest place?
Right. That's a great question, Lisa. I think that you've always got to have hope, and you've always got to have dreams, and you have to hold on to those dreams, because without hope, there's nothing. It's very powerful to, you know, try and counteract the negative self-talk with positive visualizations and telling yourself, you know, I can get through this, that this moment will pass. And I feel that we all have our own enemy within. It might be a loss or a marital breakdown or, you know, depression, whatever the case may be. It's sometimes in those darkest moments when we need our most resilience that we truly find out the person we are. Mm-hmm. And so then when you figure out your own strengths, you can build on those strengths and then hopefully get to a point like I am where there's a, you know, you're happy with your life, and you've redefined your own version of what happiness is and what success is, and then, you know, inspire others to do the same.
Yeah, well, your book is so inspiring. What did you decide to write Enemy Within?
Why did I decide?
When and why?
Yeah, when and why. I really had been keeping journals ever since I was a little girl, and in the beginning, they were just sort of scripts of what I'd done during the day and recounts of what I'd been doing. But then as I got older, they really became sort of gratitude journals and a source of learning for me. And as each thing went on in my life, I felt like I could really become the teacher for others.
Mm. Oh, that's great. No, it really is. I mean, what I love about the book, you're so candid. And one of the things that can happen with women who have chronic illnesses is they can get involved with the wrong partners, and they, because their self-esteem is low and they're in a dark place. And I was so glad that you talked about that, because I think that was so important. And I really just want to applaud your courage to come out and talk about that issue.
Yeah, because, you know, emotionally, I'd been involved with the wrong partners, I think, because I was unable. I had a really low self-esteem because of the illness. Mm-hmm. But I was also, you know, involved in a relationship which had some a domestic violence incident, which, you know, I broke my jaw and had a broken nose. But I couldn't get out of the relationship. And, I think once I started researching the, you know, the facts about this, I found that disabled women actually are more likely to be victims of domestic violence. And I think that's because your self-esteem is so low and, you know, it's already hard for women to break the cycle. But when you add to that an illness and a low self-esteem that's, you know, lower again than most women, it's really troubling and hard to get out of.
It sure is. But you did. I mean, that's, you know, you found that in yourself and you did get out. And you're married to a wonderful man now.
I'm married to Matthew. He is a wonderful man. I married an Englishman in New York, so it was wonderful. Yeah. So, and we're, you know, he has accepted my illness, and we've got a great quality of life together. And I've found that I've triumphed, not despite my RA, but because of it in some ways.
Wow. Now, tell us when you left Australia and came to New York. When was that again?
It was back in 2000. It was just around about the time of actually the Sydney Olympics, and I thought, oh my God, I can't leave, you know, when I've got tickets to the Olympics. But I got the job. I got the job at the UN school, and it was an amazing opportunity. So I took that and moved over here, and, you know, came over here without knowing a single person in New York City, and made a new life for myself. And I met my husband a couple of years later.
Oh, that's great. And tell us about your teaching now.
Well, I started off teaching grade two. I taught grade two for 7 years and felt very inspired by the children who are perceptive little things, and they notice my hands and, you know, my crooked fingers. And finally, after a few years, one little boy decided he wanted to walk with me on the arthritis walk. His dad was a doctor, and he figured it out. And that now has progressed into a, you know, a kind of an event for the school in some ways, which we participate. We haven't done it for the last year, but we're going to do it this year in May, early May, down at Battery Park in New York City. And we also have a PJ for Painful Joints Day at the school, where all the kids wear their pajamas in support of me, and they make a dollar donation. So, you know, they've really inspired me, the children, to come out and tell my story. So it's been pretty amazing how the school's accepted it all and really embraced it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you mentioned earlier that you're on your fifth biologic medication. Now, is this working for you? Are you feeling pretty good overall?
Yeah, I'm on my fourth biologic at the moment. Yeah. Put it this way, my doctors just called me and said, you have to come in, we have to have a chat.
Oh.
So I'm my illness is not fully under control. It's manageable, but I do have flares, and I am now starting to get some joint damage, which normally if you're on a biologic, you shouldn't. It really halts the progression of the disease. So we're going to have to try something else soon, but I'm still hopeful and, you know, grateful for the last 10 years of, you know, a much better life.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, is your mother still in Australia?
Mum's in Australia, yes, and Dad's there. And, you know, I've just had some visits from some family members over here, so we see each other quite a lot.
Oh, that's good. And do you miss Australia? Or, I mean, obviously you probably miss it, but New York sounds like your home.
Well, yeah, I love the East Coast, actually. I love Boston as well. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, New York's fun. It's home now, and it's where I've made my life with, you know, my husband and my beautiful little Morkie dog called Willie. And, you know, I have the opportunity to get home quite a lot because my brother's a pilot for Qantas, so that is helpful.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, he flies the Airbuses, the big A380s.
Oh, wow. That's
I'm very proud of that.
It sounds like you're doing really well, and I think that this, just having you on and hearing you talk, and especially for people, like we mentioned, who are in those dark places and going through their disease, you get to that point, or whatever it is, it can be an emotional turmoil that you're going through. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all been there, and you can feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And so to hear from someone like you, you know, with all you've been through, is incredible.
Thank you, Lisa. And I think that's really the message in my book, Enemy Within. And it's the message is to never give up. That there's really layers of pain and happiness in life, and we do get through them somehow, and we can be strengthened by our struggles. So now I really just focus on being in the moment, I guess. Like, this is fun for me, being interviewed by you.
Oh.
You know, it's great. And I feel like you've become a bit of a friend.
Oh, definitely. I know. I just got to get my bum up to New York.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you got to come to Boston. I want to thank you so much, Karen. How can people learn more about you?
They can go to my website, which is www.karenandarthritis.com, and my book's available on Amazon.
Terrific. Enemy Within. It's a fantastic book, and you are a fantastic person. Karen, thank you so much.
Oh, I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been fun.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to It's Your Health. To hear past shows, watch It's Your Health TV, and more, go to www.itsyourhealthnetwork.com.